We want to pursue the truth. We want to catch ourselves from really saying what it is when you don't know. The whole idea is to get to a higher sense of knowing, and part of that is knowing what you don't know. When I'm intuiting something, often I'll ask, is this something I know?
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. I've brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted.
Thank you for joining us here on the Autoimmune Hour with Sharon Saylor. Always seek sound legal, medical, and or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune and Life Interrupted Radio. Join the Autoimmune Hour's Courage Club. Sign up now at understandingautoimmune.com. Now, back to your host, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And as always, it's my honor and pleasure to be with you here on another brand new episode. Oh, my gosh, you know, we are, what, 7.5 years into this adventure, and I just keep finding new and exciting things. And tonight we're going to talk about a new book, and the author's name is Michael Goddard, and he is a seeker of wisdom from a very, very young age. And he learned meditation in his teens, and by 21, he was doing it over 2 hours a day, which I applaud. I have trouble. We'll talk to Michael about how to do that, because I have trouble staying there for maybe 10, 15 minutes. So we'll talk to him about that. And his brand new book, I'll show for those of you on video, you'll see all my notes here, but his brand new book is called The New Now. There's a picture of the cover for everybody that's on video. And The New Now, and Your Guide to Mastering Wisdom, Achieving Equilibrium, and Empowering Your Nobler Self. And, you know, one of the things that I wanted to have Michael on about was this empowering your nobler self. So thanks for being on the show, Michael. We're going to have a great time today.
Yeah, thank you, Sharon. Thank you for the introduction.
First off, I wanted to go into some of the more technical details, because like in that introduction and when I was reading your book, it talked about being able to do it for hours at a time. What are the secrets to that? Because I've tried meditation and I find it very helpful, but I honestly find that I can't do it for long periods of time.
Right. Well, one thing I want to make clear first is that I'm not advocating that people meditate for any length of time or follow any particular path. The whole idea of the book is it's a self-participatory guided book to heighten your reality, to put you on your own authentic path. Now, meditation is what I call one of the three beneficences. And if you're interested in meditation, I mean, there are a bazillion types of meditation out there, you know, and it can be really daunting to find what's right for you. But that comes in as your role of being a seeker after truth and what works for you. Now, I knew from an early age that I wanted to meditate. As soon as I heard the word, I knew it was for me. And I first did a meditation that was 20 minutes at a time. I was leaving for a junior year abroad in England, and I needed something to tide me over until I found what I was really looking for. So I started this meditation. You're only supposed to do it twice a day at the most, but I was doing it often 5 times a day because I really liked it. But then I came back to the States, and through a series of coincidences, I found this path I've been consciously seeking literally since I had turned 11. And that included making a commitment to meditating at least 2.5 hours a day. And it's a very special kind of meditation, because you're meditating on the sound current, which I discuss a little bit in the book. It's kind of like the greatest secret nobody's ever heard of, but a few people. Although a lot of people have heard names for it. Like if you're familiar at all with the Bible talks about the word, in the beginning was the word, and you know that whole quote. The Greeks called it the Logos. All through humankind's history, mystics have called it by names current to their culture. So it's called often sound current in English, in Hindi, Shabad. So that's the kind of meditation I do. But the whole idea of the book is to elevate your consciousness so you can navigate your life moment by moment with heightened powers of perception and awareness.
And that's what I appreciated about your book. It is all about self-awareness. And I find that as my healing journey began through all of this, that self-awareness was really a critical part of getting well and maintaining well-being, which a lot of allopathic or Western medicine rarely talks about self-awareness, other than just at a physical level, like 0 to 10, what's your pain level?
Right. And it's like, I get that asked all the time. It's like, so when I'm moving around a lot, it's you know, in terms of my spine, it's very low. But if I'm driving and stop and go traffic, it can go from a 2 to a 9+ in seconds. So like, ask me when I'm driving, you know, on the 91 freeway and we're stuck for an hour. I have to keep braking. But I've gone through some monumental, amazing health challenges. And I did start to develop my intuition in my 20s, and that accelerated through my 30s and 40s. But after I had some major surgeries and very easily could have died, actually my intestine died and I had much of it removed. And then I started having bowel obstructions, which is, I can't imagine anything more painful. No need to go into that. But basically, I had to intuit every spoonful of food I would eat, what and how much, because it was very easy to trigger these bowel obstructions and end up in the ER begging for 2 hours to be let in and attended to. So that really accelerated my intuition. So if you suffer, and I do write a fair amount about disease and healing in the book. So whatever you suffer with, whatever your challenges are, developing your authentic sense of knowing. I've had so much bad advice from doctors. It was like the opposite of what I should do. You have to take responsibility for knowing what to do and how to be moment to moment. And that can lead you to far better health. It's worked beautifully for me because, well, here I am, I'm still alive, so.
Oh, I can flash back on numerous things where doctors told me something. And I have to say, I'm all for medical professionals. This isn't a slam. It's just understand yourself and go, is that true for me? Right. Because oftentimes I was like, oh, no. thank you, next, or do I have to do that? Like, what else can we do? That's not ringing true for me, right? And you could say, that's not ringing true for me right now. What else can we do? Because listening to that inner voice, whether, like I said, I'm not a powerful meditator, listening to that first little twinge of a yes or no kind of response in me and honoring that has been crucial for my well-being. A lot of people look at me a little cross-eyed when I say, well, I can't really describe how I know it. I just know it. So do you have any tips on people learning to listen to that little inner? Because mine's not a voice. It's more of a physical sensation.
Oh, okay. Well, it can be different for other people. And that's really a theme I developed throughout the book. One thing I'd like people to appreciate is that we have this inner well of knowing, of higher consciousness. And we can all access that and develop it. I like to think of it as an inverted well, an aquifer. And for people who don't know what an aquifer is, actually, I live in Palm Springs on top of an aquifer. It's an underground layer of water-bearing rock. So I think of all the rock as what is interfering with my accessing my higher consciousness. In meditation, in the awareness exercises you do, is basically blasting away the rock. So those enlivening waters of knowing can flow through to you. So I would say really devote yourself to paying attention to your intuition. I have sections of the book on how to develop your intuition, the different types of intuition, also inspiration. One of the chapters is the five sources of knowing, and there are clear-headedness, inspiration, intuition, forgiveness, and listening. And listening, for instance, has five different aspects, one of which actually is listening to that inner sound, which many people can hear a slight echo of, but they don't really know what it is. So going through a new now, you can really begin to develop and appreciate your sense of knowing, your higher sense of knowing.
Oh, absolutely. And there was, look it up really quickly, there was a wording here. This just caught my, it seems so true for now, being mentally besieged and would greatly benefit from activating the wisdom of feeling good. Mentally besieged. I wanted to talk to you about, I love the words, two words that I went, oh my goodness, if we can say anything about the past year and a half.
We were mentally besieged.
That was, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about those two words, because as I, even if we don't, someone here doesn't have an autoimmune, they, a lot of people just enjoy the show for the wellness and well-being tips that we share.
Right.
Let's talk about mentally besieged, and I would love to talk about it here and now, what we've been through.
Yeah, and actually, I'm really glad you brought that up, because actually, I mean, most people are mentally besieged, and that is a sign of an autoimmune disorder that virtually everybody on the planet suffers from, but has failed to identify. And that is basically your lower mind is attacking yourself. You have a higher self, a nobler self. To varying extents, you have a higher mind. But basically, I talk about higher mind and lower mind and habitual mind. And the lower mind is the part that is really a slave to your senses. It's the part that worries, that's anxious, that can act out, that can be mean, it's reactive. Your habitual mind is the mind that basically is there for showing up, getting to work on time, taking out the garbage, brushing your teeth. Some people have a very weak habitual mind. Actually, the habit they get into is just feeding themselves junk food in front of the TV. But there's kind of a neutral habitual mind. And your higher mind, is, which is what we want to develop, is your nobler self. It's the part that wants to be of service, that wants to be kind, to be good. It's the part of you that expresses the virtues, which I actually write about in my first book, Spiritual Revolution. I write about the essential virtues. My next virtue book is about the elevating virtues. So I really do think this is an autoimmune disorder, because so many people identify with the mind. If they're really running negative thoughts about someone or something, they think that's them. Basically, we are not our minds. This is like the biggest dupe of creation. We identify with our minds. Actually, our true identity, our knowing, is the soul. But the thing is to operate in the realms of mind and physical matter. We kind of take on the mind. And if you want to visualize it, think of the soul as an eternal light bulb of love. It's just really the essence, the pure power of love. And to come down lower from the source of all love and bliss, you had to take on different wrappings. So think of your higher mind as the gauze around the bulb. So if you were only the gauze, you would be able to see a lot of the light. And think of your habitual mind as the cotton that's wrapped around the bulb of your soul. And then think of your lower mind as basically a tarp you can't see through. A tarp that's been encrusted with grime and dirt and mud. And for a lot of people, that's all they have to work with. Now I'm going to confess something to you. Well, I was able to access a great many of my past lives, if you happen to believe or are curious about reincarnation. And I share that in my memoir, my spiritual memoir, In Search of Lost Lives. Well, one of the things that really intrigued me that I was sort of directed to find out is when my higher mind became predominant. Now, one thing I've noticed, because I'm really pretty intuitive, I basically can know if somebody's lower or higher mind is predominant. It's very clear to me. Well, my higher mind became predominant 12 lives back, which is really very, very, very recent. It's when I was a Tibetan. I was a very high up government official in Lhasa, and I came in contact with two monks, which really kind of lit a fire in my spiritual evolution. One in particular is like, wow, this is a human being who's kind of unlike other humans I've met, who's definitely spiritually evolved. Now, the two lives prior, which I discuss in the book, my lower mind and higher mind were in balance, but all the many, many thousands, literally thousands of human lives before that, my lower mind was predominant. So that's something to kind of ask yourself, you know, is my lower mind predominant much of the time? Now, if you're being really loving and giving, let's say you're celebrating Christmas, chances are your higher mind is on the ascendant. But this is an autoimmune disorder in that we are attacking our better selves much of the time by being besieged by negative thoughts. I mean, I deal with it on a day-to-day basis. My mind loves to run tapes, you know, it brings up. Actually, my mind loves to compose sentences. That's what happens much of the time when I'm meditating. That's what I like to think about. But if somebody's hurt you, they've betrayed you, that is a wound that can come up again and again. And a lot of people, myself included, have a hard time communicating your truth about something, which should always be done in a loving way. So one thing the book will do for sure is really give you a different perspective on who you are, what your minds are, and how to really lead the best life possible for you this lifetime.
As I was reading it, and specifically to those types of thoughts where you were talking about the negative thoughts sort of running away, mm-hmm. running you down the wrong track.
Right.
You do some comparisons in there, like, well, the other party could have been thinking this, or, and they said it the wrong way, or they said this, and then, and your interpretation of it was different. And it got me to thinking of how many times that can happen just in innocent conversation, and, or also in the medical world, if we're there for some guidance or something, and we hear something that is a trigger word or something like that. I just really love that part. I was trying to think of which wisdom it was in. You have this, I think it was the wisdom of feeling good, where you talk about that, where, you know, being careful of how you interpret things, being really mindful of like, what are some other options when I'm interpreting what that something just triggered in me? Why am I interpreting it that way?
Yeah, so much can happen and we don't really know the true reason or what the person really said or is thinking. You know, I had a challenge. I mean, having written this book, it really, really helped me during COVID. But one of my main challenges is I lead a very solitary life. I just really have a few local friends I get together with. Well, all but one of them fell away and were not in communication. Just one person who's mainly at a second home. So, you know, these are people I've been seeing for 15 years or so on a regular basis, and they just weren't in communication. So, you know, it's like, what did I do? You know, I mean, all kinds of thoughts can run through your mind, and I had to keep reminding myself, I don't know the truth of the situation, and how do I want to deal with it? Now, I'm the kind of person who tends to initiate things. And I decided for some of them, okay, if I'm really not on their radar, maybe they're not meant to be in my life, at least at this time. Maybe they're not the best person for me. I mean, somebody who I would rely on for feeling good and feeling really on a higher level might have been besieged by all kinds of things happening in her life. In fact, I found out that part of her family ended up encamping with her during COVID, and she, you know, could barely handle that. So we want to pursue the truth, and we want to catch ourselves from really saying what it is when you don't know. The whole idea is to get to a higher sense of knowing, and part of that is knowing what you don't know. When I'm intuiting something, often I'll ask, is this something I know? Because you want to be careful you don't interpret something that isn't true. So I hope that enlightened your question a little bit.
Well, it does. And just a side note, in the past couple of months, as things have begun to open up, I've gotten a couple of emails that my first trigger was, wow, that's rather accusatory. Instead of asking, are you okay? Or what's up with you? Or what's going on in your life? And they came back and said, I haven't heard from you, you know, kinds of things. So I could understand how that you said your one friend was besieged with, in other ways, in unintended ways. And, you know, we don't have any way of knowing really wanting it. And that's not just due to the pandemic. All my listeners are probably shaking their heads like, well, that happens to me all the time where, you know, there are just certain days I'm too fatigued to get out of bed, Sharon. And so, you know, sorry, I didn't answer your email kind of thing. I just think this idea of checking in with people instead of starting out accusatory of like, where are you? But checking in with your friend is I just want to make that suggestion to my listeners here.
And also checking in with yourself. I'm the kind of person that was brought up, you know, to please my mother, whatever she wanted. So, you know, if I get 10 emails, it's like I have to respond to them now. Although I've disciplined myself not to look at emails for a certain time. But check in with yourself. Don't make yourself do something. It may not be the optimal time. And that's one of the skills in knowing you'll develop working with the book, to know what is optimal for you moment to moment. And it's really, rather than being reactive, to just be more of a master of your life. I think that's what we all would like. We want the best for ourselves in the most loving way, actually.
Well, it's interesting as I'm flashing back onto a podcast I listened to not too long ago, mm-hmm. where they were talking about how productivity had slipped, et cetera, thanks to the advent of technology, social media, mm-hmm. email, that we don't have the ability to, I mean, we've trained ourselves. I said we have the ability, I should say. It's not that we don't. But we've trained ourselves that somehow that email comes in. It's like Pavlov's dog. We have to run right to it and take care of it and train ourselves that we don't have to do that.
No, and that's one of the things I take people through in the book and in different sections of sort. Like for me, for instance, when I'm writing rather than giving interviews, I don't check my emails till I'm finished writing. I would never do it, you know, first thing before breakfast, after breakfast, usually 11:30 or so, you know, unless I know there's something I need to attend to. So it's really also about setting boundaries that serve yourself. I mean, taking breaks. One of the wisdoms is the wisdom of doing nothing, which is really a beautiful wisdom you get into. And it'll make sense when you read it and go through it, but just giving yourself a break to do nothing and be. Also, one of the equilibriums, I write about the 10 keys to achieving equilibrium. And I'm sure a lot of people during COVID and now would have loved to really felt there were an equilibrium. And that's balance being, doing, and having. And I give a few exercises like, you know, intuiting what your pie chart is, you know, are you 80% doing and 18% having and just the rest being? Well, the wisdom of doing nothing is all about being and getting in touch with your higher state of being. So there are all kinds of tools people can use as they are so moved, and this will enhance every aspect of their life.
Mm, yes, and I was reflect on the pie chart, guys. We need to take a quick commercial break. Boy, when he just said, even as he mentioned that, I reflected on my pie chart, how it differs from day to day. But reflect on your pie chart, guys, and join us. We'll be right back.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living. A chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenille.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And tonight we're here with author Michael Goddard. And he has the author of several books. And his latest book, I'm going to show it to people on the video, The New Now. And hopefully there's not too much reflection on that. Your Guide to Mastering Wisdom Daily, Achieving Equilibrium, and Empowering Your Nobler Self. And I really like it, especially for right now. I know you wrote this during the pandemic. And before we took that break, we talked about the infamous pie chart. And it, towards the back of the book, I opened it up here with my little notes here. You have some questions about being, and you talk about being emotionally detached when you ask yourself these questions. Am I thinking too much about those are the, what, who are the best people for me to spend time with? We can go on with those questions. I thought they were great. But talk about being emotionally detached. I think a lot of times people can get not just emotionally attached to the answers, but I've noticed sometimes people get emotionally attached to their diagnosis.
Yeah, and it can be wrong. I mean, one of my clients, I was in the tax world for decades, keeping my writing alive. And my oldest client, who's a multi-millionaire, was diagnosed with Parkinson's by a doctor. And I was the only person he told. He wouldn't even tell his wife. And he was taking the pills daily, not knowing when he was going to leave or how bad it was going to get. Well, it was like 12 years later, he found out it had been a completely wrong diagnosis.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and he had taken those drugs for like 12 years. I visited in London. He was being audited by the IRS. He was suicidal. Of course, it was also an anniversary of D-Day, and I literally had to talk him off the roof. I mean, people can get themselves, I mean, talk about being emotionally reactive and not detached. He was going through survivor's guilt because he was the only one, his battalion or whatever that unit was called, to survive. And he felt very guilty, and there was a huge D-Day celebration for World War II. So it's very important to be emotionally detached, but that's something you can't force yourself to. It's better to become attached to something higher and stronger. And that's why I keep coming back to your higher, better, nobler self, your higher mind. It's a long journey. If you go through my spiritual memoir, past lives, you can see each life how I was being spiritualized a little bit, I identify what I call evolutionary spiritual experiences. And some of these were really basic, just like having respect for all life, for instance, or being, you know, good to other people. So it's a long journey we're on, and it doesn't end when this life ends. This is your chance to fulfill your spiritual purpose. Now, I do write about spiritual purpose. From what I know, each of us has at least one spiritual purpose, and we may or may not know that this lifetime. It may not become known to us. And I identify quite a few in that book. So this is your chance to make good on whatever you planned before this life, whatever you promised, whatever debts you have to fulfill.
Wow. So I'm curious, though, about are there ways that we can learn our spiritual purpose? I mean, what can we do to, if we're like, I have an inkling. Maybe I just have an inkling, a repeating pattern in my life or something like that. Mm-hmm. But how can we work? How can we begin to uncover what our spiritual purpose, or shall I say purposes, just in case, are?
Well, there are different ways which may work for different people. One is to be in touch with that quiet inner voice within you that really wants to do something like help build schools or, you know, help the homeless, whatever. And that's really kind of the soul coming through if you listen to it properly. Basically, it's like you could ask yourself, what would love do? I mean, it may be, I think really, if you identify as being a seeker, and we're all seekers until we become the truth. If you really can identify with being a seeker, going on this journey, you know, you're traversing hills with all kinds of landscapes, and you can't see the hills beyond the hill you're looking at. You're in a valley. So that's where it comes, you know, living day to day. I mean, we can see how people can really change their lives radically at different points. So the other thing is to really take your life in regard as the most precious gift imaginable. I mean, I've just been reading about McDonald Davis, I think that's her name, Jeff Bezos' wife, who gave away $7.8 billion. Well, your life is worth more than $7.8 billion because, you know, you were sent here to work out your destiny and to fulfill your spiritual purpose, which you may not know this lifetime. So it's really just a question of doing your best and being in touch with that higher power, whatever you want to call. I mean, you can be an atheist, but still embrace the concept that there is this pervasive supreme being of consciousness.
It's fascinating to me. For me, I could say, I don't want to say my purposes have changed, but they have taken many different roads. But oftentimes when I go back and I look at it, it's a single purpose, but it's taken many different shapes and forms and manifestations throughout my life. And I find that fascinating. And one of the ways that it's helpful for me is to journal. I know you do a lot of writing and publishing. And for me, I like to journal. It helps me. Sometimes these thoughts are very fleeting. I'd had that thought years ago, and here it is again.
Yeah, well, I have pads all over the house, but I'm glad you mentioned that, because the central part of the book is what I call the journey journal, and this is really a method by which you can get the most value of the book in your life, and I give instructions on how to work with it. You can download it, actually, from my website as a Word doc. And if I may just mention my website, it's Goddard.com, G-O-D, God, in DART for DART. And it's really up to you to make it as you wish, but you can date the entries. You can even write, you know, buy a fancy journal and write with a beautiful fountain pen and transfer it if you want it to be searchable into a Word document. But this is a way of kind of keeping track of everything, of advancing you on your journey. And I, you know, encourage people to go. Basically, it's really just all the sections of the book, the 33 wisdoms, the 10 keys to achieving wisdom, equilibrium, the 5 sources of wisdom, all the different sections of the book, which you can write within those sections and write down exercises in your responses. So if you at all like to journal, this is perfect for you, because otherwise, I mean, how many of us have read beautiful, inspiring, and even very practical books, and you come away from with 1 or 2 or 3 things, and then 3 weeks later you forget them. So this is a way of locking in what you know and figuring out where you're going.
One of the ways that I do it, so anyone saw me hold up the book, I've got little tabs in all the books I read. But the funny thing is, Michael, when I just have the page, usually like near the paragraph I find inspiring. And then I go back and I read it, and it's sometimes so different. I'm like, wow, I should have double tagged that, or why did I tag that at all? I don't know why that is. But we need to take a final quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to talk some more with Michael about this, the power of now, and understanding it and listening to our inner self, our higher self. We'll be right back.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the Om Times Experts program. With Om Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations, to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, sorry, I'm rambling, you say, thank you for listening. Join us at projectforgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com, and tonight we're here with Michael Goddard, and he is an author and a seeker of wisdom for his whole life. So he started about the age of 10 and has been seeking wisdom since. He is the author of In Search of Lost Lives, Desire, Sanskrits, and the Evolution of a Mind and Soul, and the winner of 4 book awards in A Search of Lost Lives. And he has a brand new book called A New Now. Here it is for those of you on video. And we've been talking about, it's a very detailed book, lots of different ways that we could go with our conversation. And we just have about 15 minutes left, Michael. And I wanted to talk to you about this concept that I think is hard for people, especially with a medical diagnosis. And you have a very large section here on allow things to arrive in their own time. And that one resonated with me, because once I got the diagnosis, it was, okay, what can I do now? Let's get this over with. And let's talk about this power of allowing things to arrive.
Right. And one of the scenarios I described is having a chronic ailment or disease. and working on that and taking responsibility. And you begin to wonder, you know, when will I ever get better? I've been on several very long, frustrating at times healing journeys. Well, there is just so much relief and power in allowing things to arrive at their own time. We're in the domain of physicality and time. And it's really about taking responsibility for your health, but not demanding how things turn out. And it's about not giving your power away, like we're talking about misdiagnoses. One of the most brilliant practitioner doctors I've ever worked with completely dropped the ball for a very important condition I had. It was really shocking as I found out how poorly he had dealt with me. So it's really about taking responsibility, but not pushing and pressing to have things a certain way, not letting yourself be frustrated. It's actually tied in with the wisdom of acceptance, which is one of the loving wisdoms. Those go very much hand in hand. As I read in the book, wisdom and equilibrium really go hand in hand, because when you're resisting reality, when you're resisting the now, you're in disequilibrium. All you can do is your best and leave the rest. That's one of my favorite sayings. Do your best and leave the rest. And that helps you become emotionally detached. It's really frustrating and hard to have these illnesses and not being able to do what you want to do, what's expected of you, what people are wanting you to do. But you need to keep finding that balance. And you know, there are 24 hours of the day. Each day is different. You can devote, as you see fit, whatever you want to your healing journey.
Now, a lot of times I talk about this idea of, I accept the diagnosis, but I don't claim ownership of the diagnosis. Mm-hmm. And I think that confuses people a lot, because you were talking about accepting what is, and many times people say, okay, darn, I'm this diagnosis, and there they just plant themselves. And you don't talk about that. It's a different type of thing where it's acceptance, but not ownership. Meaning, I tell this story a lot and it bugs people, but it's like when I was living down in Florida, cockroaches were a common thing, right? Didn't mean you were a bad housekeeper. that's it. And so the guy comes in and said, you know, could say you have cockroaches. That doesn't mean I own them nor I want to keep them. That means I'll do things that seem reasonable to get them out, you know? And I think I look at when someone hands you a medical diagnosis, so the same is making sure that I agree that that is happening, but that doesn't mean I own it and I'm not just going to sit there and let it manifest bigger, brighter, bolder. I'm going to choose to take conscious steps with my health to optimize, even if it's a little thing, every day.
Yeah, and to give you a good example, I just flashed on, I hadn't thought of for a long time. I had a high position in the Bank of America, and I went on disability just when I turned 33. A few months later, I was determined to be permanently disabled. I couldn't stand for more than a minute or two at a time. I'd never given much credence to surgery, and I often had good results from chiropractors. But the best chiropractor I was going to finally gave up on me, and he said, "You need to have surgery." And I said, "I don't think so." And I kept looking, and I basically finally got better and better and better. So acceptance doesn't mean like, you know, this is it forever. I mean, I continued to get better with alternative methods of healing to the point where I was able to go to graduate school, which was, I thought I would be getting a PhD, you know, right after college. Life didn't happen that way. But it turned out I didn't get a PhD in political science. I got an MFA in creative writing, which is really a doctorate in creative writing. So it was just so rejuvenating and enlivening to go back to school in my 30s. I loved it. I mean, riding a bicycle around campus, and I've been living in a business suit in the high Bank of America tower. So this is why your intuition, developing your powers of knowing, is so essential. You can accept that this diagnosis is what the person says, as we were talking earlier, it may be a complete misdiagnosis. And it doesn't mean that this is the way it's going to be until you die. You can get through it. This is your challenge to find a better way of being.
Absolutely, a better way of being. I like that. And let's talk, we just have about 5 minutes. Let's talk about what are some other tips and techniques that you can share that we haven't had a chance to speak to yet that you find people have had great success with?
Yeah, that's a great question. And one of the keys for achieving equilibrium, one of the last keys is schedule some winsome relaxation, or another one is find freeing fun, and I give examples. And one of them basically is touching your body where it needs to be touched. I had many courses in Jin Shin Jutsu, which is a healing technique. You can call it acupuncture, but without needles. You're using your fingers as jumper cables. So I really kind of describe how to give yourself an elementary Jin Shin treatment by finding where is the most pain you're having. Put your fingertips there. And then intuitively reach for another part of your body. If you want to explore Jin Shin Jutsu, you'll find there are 52 energy locks, and there are all these flows, like the kidney flow, the bladder flow. But this is something you can do for yourself at night before you go to bed, in bed, and you hold it until you feel a strong pulse, and you involuntarily take a deep breath. And then you can move one of the hands to another spot that feels needy, that wants to be touched. I do this all the time. I do just the best way for me to fall asleep if I need a nap in the afternoon, which I used to need every single day when my health was worse, but now just maybe once a week or two, is holding your fingers, putting your thumb in the middle of your hand, and basically holding each thumb and finger until you take a deep breath when you feel a strong pulse. That's just an all-around fabulous maintenance tool. I would be lost without it. So the different keys, and they're very different because they're physical recreations, emotional invigorations, mental stimulations. Those you can really tap into. And once you've read through them, you can help yourself know which one will serve you best at any given time.
I love that, because one of the things it does is it allows me to practice my physical intuition, like what's going on in my body. I think that's really important to oftentimes language fails us if we're talking to a medical professional and they hear something.
Yeah, when I had, you know, all my scar tissue adhesions, some of them removed, and talking to the gastroenterologist, not only did he not ever touch me, or he didn't even look at me. Whereas what really saved my life was this very intensive physical therapy where this wonderful woman was digging into my gut and innards and stretching the scar adhesions from my organs in my peritoneum in the lining of my stomach. She was getting right in there. So doing this exercise of sensing where you want to be touched, what feels needy, you may have a flash of inspiration come through of something that isn't quite right, which may give you an idea to have something checked out. I mean, one of the most athletic people I know who teaches all kinds of Zumba classes and everything, he almost died because of heart failure. He needed three stents put in. And this is something that completely took him and his friends completely, they couldn't believe it. So you never know what can happen, what can go on. And this physical exercise is becoming far more sensitive to what your body wants to tell you.
Absolutely. By practicing it that way allows you to go, oh, well, that's what it feels like to intuit what part of my body is needing some stress relief, or it's got a little muscle knot, whatever going on. Well, Michael, this has been fascinating. We're just down to the last few minutes. Tell us more about how to find out about your website and where we can get your books, including The New Now.
Yeah, thank you, Sharon. Well, my website is goddard.com. That's G-O-D for God and D-A-R-T for Dart. And there you can read excerpts from all my books, read testimonials, endorsements, and you can download the Journey Journal. I've got quite a few interviews posted there. And from there, if you buy books at Amazon, you can click right over to the page on Amazon, or they're available anywhere online at barnesandnoble.com or bookshop.org. You shouldn't have any trouble ordering.
Wow. Thank you. Well, I enjoyed the read, Michael. Thank you so much for sending me the book. And everyone, that's Michael Goddart, GODDART.com is his website. Have a great week, whatever your adventures. Join me next week for another brand new episode. Oh, and don't forget to check us out on Facebook, Understanding Autoimmune, Twitter, Understanding Autoimmune, Instagram, Understanding Autoimmune. I think that about covers it because the website's understandingautoimmune.com to share Michael's interview with your friends and family, as well as all of the 300 plus some plus episodes we have from other great and wonderful speakers that we've had on the show. Again, have a great week. Join me next week, same time, right here. Enjoy.
The information provided on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, including the websites understandingautoimmune.com and lifeinterruptedradio.com, plus social media, is for educational purposes only. What you read, hear, and see on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, and its websites and other media outlets is based on experience only. The information should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life, and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the Om Times Experts program. With Om Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for inspired conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, sorry, I'm rambling, you say, thank you for listening. Join us at ProjectForgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.